Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
You asked me about wine with asparagus, by the way. The other place, and I mentioned one place, a Suave, I started to talk about that. The one other place I would go is northwest of Spain. That's probably my second favorite region. And you've got a couple of different appellations there. Valdeorras, the Rías Baixas, Ribeiro, which are all exotic sounding, really clean, fresh, attractive white wines that have some of the same characteristics of the Suave. Good ripeness, but almost like a little bitter balancing point. We'll put a list of a bunch of recommended wines for asparagus, and honestly, just great spring wines up on the.
That's great because up on the site. It really is a hard wine pairing. Isn't it one of the hardest wine pairings, probably?
That, artichokes, egg dishes can be tough, depending upon what, because the egg is a foil for a lot of things that have strong flavors. But those are kind of like the classic tough guys.
That's nice to have a suggestion.
Just strong vegetable flavors are hard to deal with for most wines. They kind of defeat, you know, the sort of the kryptonite of the big red wines and that sort of thing. We have a few questions from listeners. One was about wine with asparagus. Thank you, Sophie and Roland Park, for that question, which we already answered. Let's see. Difference between white and green asparagus. You started to talk about that for a moment.
So the white asparagus is the same plant. It's just simply covered with dirt as it grows so that it doesn't go through photosynthesis. So it's not turning green, and that's the difference. And one of the things about white asparagus is, just to know from a cooking standpoint, is it's very brittle. And you really have to be careful when you're cutting it. So now you need that very sharp knife, or you could actually break. You can literally break white asparagus. So it can be brittle, and your cook time will probably be shorter. And you absolutely have to peel it. There's no question. There's no choice. You have to peel white asparagus. You want to clean it up very, very well as well. And it can be a little bit, it's funny, I was reading something that said white asparagus tends to be sweeter. I completely disagree with that. It tends to be more bitter. And so we put a touch of sugar in our water. So when we blanch it in water, acidulated water. So it has a little bit of lemon juice, a little bit of sugar, and a little bit of salt.
One of the coolest things I've ever noticed is that with white asparagus, if you grill it, it almost tastes nutty. There's definitely
It is inherently nutty, I think, in flavor anyway.
If like grilling it, you want a nice light meal, grill a piece of fish that's kind of fatty, like black sea bass or a salmon or something like that, and grill the white asparagus with it, and good olive oil and fresh herbs, and you're in good shape with that.
And I'd go in the other direction and do hollandaise, and that is one of the other classic
You with a classic sauces. Rich French sauce and me with olive oil? Who knew? Who figured? Let's see. One other question we have from Tina in Catonsville. What do you look for when buying asparagus?
You know, you want the them to be bright green. You want it to not look withered at all. That's what happens is it dries
out. How moist are the tips and how purple are the tips?
I forget what the percentage of water content is in asparagus, but it's like 85 or 95%. Yeah. I mean, it's almost all water. So you know that it's, as with age, it's going to start to look shriveled up. So you obviously want it to look firm, crisp, great. You know, it's with a lot of things, it's common sense. And that the head is tight, just like you would with broccoli or, you know, as well.
Yeah, but it's and that purple color should be there for almost all asparagus.
And that's one of the
That starts to fade to brown a little bit. Mm-hmm. It should be kind of like a little bit pinky purple, you know, or magenta purple kind of, and not brown at all.
And there is purple asparagus as well, which is, you know, I've never worked with that, so I don't know really what it tastes like, but
it's essentially the same stuff. It doesn't have quite the strength of flavor, so it's really not quite. To me, it's not as fun as either white asparagus or green asparagus because it's not as pure in flavor.
Well, we've had wild asparagus in Italy as well, which is really amazing.
That's a great thing with just very simple egg-based pasta, and the wild asparagus, once you have it cleaned up, you just toss it in with, if you have an egg-based pasta, with that and butter and Reggiano, let's say, you know, just spaghetti alla chitarra or something, and just let it steam in as the pasta cools out of the water.
It's really, really, it's almost like matchstick thin.
Yeah.
Very pretty.
Yeah. But super flavored. It will perfume that. You really don't want to monkey with it too much.
Yeah.
And now we head into our producer segment. We have on the line Lisa Godfrey from Godfrey's Farm in Sudlersville, Maryland. How are you, Lisa?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Hi, Lisa. Good to talk with you.
So I think it's been a little more than probably a decade or so that we've been getting the spectacular asparagus that you guys grow. Would you tell people about your farm, maybe the history of the farm, and what you guys produce?
Well, we've been here since, 1952. Tom's father came down from New Jersey they were a big family with lots of kids, and you know, lots of houses were moving into Jersey, and it was kind of hard for everybody to be supported on the farm. So him and his brother headed down to Maryland, and they bought farms down here, and he started growing asparagus. He was growing for Green Giant, him and his brother both.
Wow.
So they had a lot of processing going on back then. Since then, all that stuff has moved out, but we're still doing the asparagus.
And just to be a geek about it, what are the oldest asparagus plants that you guys have?
Our oldest right now are, we're planted, I believe in 98, or maybe, I think it was 98. I have a picture of my old black lab laying in the trenches, and Tom's dad, who's no longer with us, standing there, and those guys talking about what they were going to do. But that was when Tom's dad kind of handed stuff over to us because he was ready to retire.
Mm-hmm.
But so, yeah, that's our oldest field now, and it probably, it's getting close to the end. It probably just has another couple years left.
What makes it time for that field to go away?
The average lifespan is about 10 years, so it's you know, maybe up to 15. It starts to, as the plants get older, the spears start to get a little thinner and a little more sparsely spaced, and so they get to be where, you know, there's not much there, and you just kind of give up on it.
The production's not the same.
Yeah.
So what else do you guys grow?
We have a lot of sweet corn. We have peaches, strawberries, cantaloupes, tomatoes, peppers, lots of good stuff.
So what? Maybe talk us through a season. What when it ramps up? You know, through the busiest time, and then through through harvest time.
Okay,
give us an idea of your calendar.
Okay, we always start with April, which is April with asparagus, which is usually around the middle of April. Things are running a little late this year, so I would guess it'd be towards the end of April. And then we'll go into strawberries. We'll start in May. And then strawberries and asparagus kind of wrap up in the middle of June, and by then we've got blueberries going. And then around the 4th of July, we always hope to have sweet corn and peaches. And then the tomatoes and cantaloupes come around the middle to later July, and then we get, that's our real busy time where we have lots of stuff going on, and everything wraps up around Labor Day.
When you plant your asparagus plants, how long does it take for you to be able to produce?
It takes 3 years. The second year you can maybe harvest a little bit, you know, for about a week.
Okay.
And then on the third year, we'll harvest for, I don't know, maybe 3 to 4 weeks, and then after that, on the fourth year, then it's in full production, and we can do it the whole season.
What happens to the plant when you cut it back that first time? Does it continue to grow back, or do you have to move on to a different field once it's cut?
Well, you cut every field you cut every day.
Mm-hmm.
On hot days, you could actually probably sit there and watch it grow.
It's amazing.
So
you have to do a YouTube video of asparagus growth.
You know, that's what they should do. They have those timey-lapse videos.
Great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you go through and you cut it every day, and if you don't get it cut that day, it might grow too tall, and then it'll start to fern, and the heads mm-hmm. will open up, and that's...
Okay.
You lose some of the quality that way. So we'll go in and we'll, you know, wherever we cut every day until it's time to be done with it, and then we just let it go. And it's kind of important for it to be let go so it can go to fern and replenish itself and, you know, get all its health back. And so those summer months with the green fern is real important to it.
We have a huge loyalty to you guys and buy as much as we can from you when the season's heavy and getting going. It's because the quality of the stuff is spectacular. What is different about the soil where you guys grow on the northern part of the Eastern Shore that makes for such a great product? Because a lot of people that grow asparagus, and we've tried a lot of people's asparagus to try to use it. And
yours is absolutely amazing.
that's nice. Well, we have a sandy loam, and I think maybe, I guess I'm not much of an expert on this, but maybe the guys further south and maybe some of those guys in Jersey have a sandier soil, and ours is a little more of a sandy loam. It's not real heavy. It's kind of perfect for growing. It's kind of perfect for vegetables, really.
There's an area in France, real famous in the southwest, called the Landes, that has a sandy, loamy, saline soil that is flavor-wise the thing that reminds me the most of what you guys grow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in France, their plants, I guess, are just so much older. Their asparagus tends to be huge. Have you ever had any of your asparagus get to be old enough where you felt like the stalks were really pretty big, but yet still good to eat and tender?
Well, ours kind of is. It works a little bit the opposite way. It goes. It starts off its first years when it's real healthy, and it's prime of its life. It has nice thick spears, and then as it gets older, as it gets into its 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th year, the stalks get thinner and thinner and thinner. So we a lot of times reconsider. I know lots of people like thin stalks, but we sort of consider the thicker stalks kind of the prime, the best of the best.
If you were going to shop for asparagus in the grocery store, what would you be looking for? What would you be trying to avoid when you see it on the on the display?
I would think that you would look. It's against our family rule to shop for asparagus in the grocery store.
Of course it is.
If
you want to give listeners a little bit of advice on what looks right and what doesn't look right.
If you look at if you turn it upside down and look at the butt end of it where it's sitting, where it's been cut, it'll start to get kind of, I don't know if you want to say woody, you can see like spaces in there where it's kind of been, where it's dried out. And it
it tells you how long ago it was cut.
Yeah, it'll have a nice tight it'll be less fibrous, I guess. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the word I'm looking for.
What's your favorite way to cook asparagus?
We bake it. We put it on a cookie sheet and cook it real hot with some olive oil and salt and pepper.
That's good and healthy.
It's great. We just, the first batch that we cook every year, we all kind of stand around the oven and eat it like french
that's,
fries.
That's great. That's wonderful.
But yeah, that's sort of become our way. We do it like, we eat it like that pretty much every night.
Now, your little girls, do they like asparagus right away as toddlers, or did it take them a while, or do they still hate it?
They love asparagus.
Good.
Yeah,
that's great.
Asparagus. Tomatoes, not so much, but asparagus they love, and yeah, we eat asparagus soup in the summer and in the winter, and when it, sometimes in the spring when we're selling it, it gets to be a little chilly, so we'll run home and have a pot of asparagus soup for dinner.
That's really great.
If you're cooking asparagus for little kids, is there a way you recommend to cook it for them?
Yeah, that
to try to make them happy with it.
Yeah, their favorite way is baked. It's got kind of a crunchy outside on it, and they just kind of like that. I would blend up the asparagus when they were smaller and not have the chunks in the soup.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of like, my husband and I, we like the chunks a lot. So we kind of got them back to chunks pretty quick.
That's great. Well, we thank you so much for your what you grow, because it makes, for me, it's a joy to cook with. And I can't wait to get that first bit this year.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
The chefs and the restaurants are always, they start, right, April Fool's Day, they start asking, when is it coming, when is it coming, when
yeah.
is it coming? And I always say that, I'll check with Lisa, but somewhere around the 15th, she's going to say we have stuff coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere between the 21st and the 25th, we'll actually get product when you have enough to sell us 1,000 pounds at a shot.
Yeah, you guys are good to us. You have great drivers that are really nice, and I really appreciate working with you all this time.
Thank you.
Always enjoy it, and the odds of me calling you later on to find out exactly what's going on, really high.
Okay.
Well, hopefully weather will cooperate for you, Lisa.
And if folks were trying to visit you all or your farm stand or anything like that, if they're on the Eastern Shore, where would they go?
We're in Sudlersville, which is northern Queen Anne's County, and we have a website at godfreysfarm.com, and you can go there and see all the stuff that we have, and you can get on our newsletter, and I keep you updated on all the things that are going on, and we have lots of pick-your-own, so if anybody wants to bring their families and put their hats on and take some good stuff home.
That's great.
Pick your own blueberries. Don't wear white pants, right?
Yeah, right. And I guess I should be more specific. It's strawberries, blueberries, and peaches, or pick your own. So, everybody should come out and see you.
All right, Lisa. Well, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thanks, Lisa. Nice to talk with you.
Thank you.
So that was great to talk with Lisa from Godfrey's Farm.
I'm just excited about her stuff.
I can't wait.
It's any minute, so.
And I know one of the other ways that a lot of people like to grill and probably would like to hear a recipe for grilled asparagus. So do you have an idea for that, Tony?
We usually will grill asparagus. It's totally a home thing, grill asparagus, and it's a really easy thing to coat it in a little bit of canola oil, something like that, have the grill very hot. Dredge it in black and white sesame seeds, roll it around on the grill. You know, you blanched it first and then chilled it, and roll it around on the grill just long enough to get it hot and let it char a little tiny bit on the outside and get it crisp. And then when it comes off, drizzle it with a little bit of sesame oil and a little bit of soy, and super duper fun. Honestly, you know, sound weird for me to have with a beer.
Okay, then. Well, you don't like the asparagus wine pairings too much, so yeah, that's...
That's a tough one, yeah. But that's a pretty fun way
to... Well, and that's, I think you hit on the main point there, which is that you have to blanch it first. I mean, you could put it right onto the grill, but that's just not going to work too well. You need water. You need to blanch them. So it's kind of a two-step process, but that sounds good. I love sesame oil.
Well, anyway, thanks everyone for listening to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we'll see you next time.